Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Annette, good afternoon. 51551 Joe at RTE.ie. It began yesterday with Cristiano talking about these random two attacks on him in the last 10 days on the same spot by the same group of three teenagers. And the one on Wednesday night was particularly savage, if anyone saw the photographs. You heard Cristiano. What happened in your son's case?
Well, listening to that story yesterday, something happened inside me. And, you know, hearing the term random acts of violence, I just felt... Mm-hmm. Sorry, random acts of kindness, that's a Freudian slip. I really felt, in my case, it should be the other way around. There's a serious shadowy side to the Irish psyche, and that comes out in these random acts of violence. For, you know, most of my family has been affected by them at different points
What happened to your son?
What happened to him, he was coming out of a party at 3 a.m. In a pretty dodgy part of town, and himself and his friend had organised for a taxi to pick them up because they knew that it wasn't a very safe area. And the taxi driver was waiting for them. They got into the taxi cab immediately on leaving the house, and a drug addict jumped into the car beside my son in the back seat and started shouting mm-hmm. abuse at the black taxi driver. And the two boys just asked him to get out of the car and asked him, nicely to leave and what he was doing there. And he lunged at both of them and bit them both, took a piece out of both of their ears.
My God.
And the story just got worse. You know, they fell out of the car. The taxi driver took off. I wouldn't blame him for that. He immediately called the guards, and they arrived within 10 minutes. But before they arrived, the boys were on the street, and they were shouting for help. They saw people coming out of a nearby mm-hmm. house, and those people came over and started kicking them on the ground. So what you know, for a moment they felt that they might be relieved, or they might be rescued, and that turned out to be yet another stroke of violence. So they landed in hospital, had to undergo months of injections, anti-tetanus injections. The taxi driver did show up at the Garda station that night and gave a full report. And they impounded his car, took fingerprints. They had sufficient evidence, mm-hmm. Including the evidence of the community guard, who felt quite sure he knew who the perpetrators were. And they insisted at the time of the statement that was coming from the two boys a couple of days after the incident that they go and identify mm-hmm. The men involved, and they were traumatized, obviously, and they wouldn't agree to doing that, and they were terrified. So nothing came of it. The two-hour statement amounted to nothing. About a year later, this was about 2 or 3 years ago, about a year later, a letter came from the guards to say the case was closed.
But hang on, Annette, someone came out of an identifiable house. The second
yes.
attack. So they yeah. this group came out of a house
yep.
and attacked the two lads.
Yeah.
Kicking them on the ground.
Yeah.
Surely it's a matter of knocking on that door and saying, who lives here?
One would think, yeah. It seemed like an open and closed case. They had pages of evidence. They had fingerprints. They had the taxi driver's evidence. They had... the piece of the ear was found. It was too late to sew it back on, unfortunately. I just felt quite ashamed yesterday that I hadn't screamed from the rooftops after this happened. Mm-hmm. My son has carried this rage within him ever since, obviously. Has never received help. There is nothing for victims of violence. There's no recourse. There's no fund, as far as I know, that would enable them to get therapeutic help afterwards. I'm sure that they're both, you know, they've both suffered from PTSD, and as have many other people who have just had to grin and bear it after the fact. And those people, and when, you know, I do understand from the guard's point of view, while we were horribly disappointed by them and their lack of follow through, the reality of it is that they said they would need the finger pointed at those individuals in order to have a case stick. It would need to be watertight because they have previous convictions, maybe up to 40 or 50 previous convictions.
What would need to be watertight?
They probably need the victims to walk up to them and point them out, and they would need to be present in a court.
And you mentioned that your son is still impacted.
And
tell us if you can how he shows this, or I don't know what age group is he now? Or
he was in his early 20s, and that seems to be the target age for random acts of violence. He was young. He's a couple of years older now. I just, you know, I can't really speak for him, but I know that he's a very gentle person. He's quiet. He would never be involved in a violent scene. I think the impact of that is immeasurable, really. I don't know how it has held him back in his life or what it has done to him emotionally. He's I would say he suffers from some form of trauma. It appears as anxiety and panic attacks, and manifests in different ways at different times. Anger and rage.
Yeah. And the other chap, how's he? Do you still see him? Or?
No, I haven't seen him since. They're still in touch and they're friends. I don't know how he's doing, really.
Yeah.
I think he had a very similar response.
I remember a few weeks ago, Annette, and we had a phone call. We were doing bullying.
Yeah.
And it was great to see it so brilliantly handled by Ryan and Sophia on the Toy Show last week. Brilliantly handled by both of them. And it just struck me, we were talking about bullying for about 3 weeks. And at one stage, we got a phone call from an Irish chap living in Boston, actually. Lovely chap. And he was talking about being bullied in school by this individual. And one day the individual said, "I'm going to get you after school." For no reason, of course, a bully. And our caller actually slipped home a different way. And he said the bully, it's just at random, attacked someone else and bit their ear off. Now, what is that about?
I don't know whether there is whether they're drug induced, those kind of attacks, but they do seem to be of a level of viciousness that may not have been apparent before the drug scene. I'm not sure, but it seems like there's no empathy. There's this loss of humanity is the great concern. The loss of empathy to be able to strike a person while they're on the ground having suffered a traumatic event is unthinkable, but to actually bite a piece of a person's, to bite a body part
it's cannibalistic.
It's important to speak out because I do believe that we can collude by being silent, by remaining silent, and by, you know, it's not comfortable to talk about it. It's there's such a level of tolerance in this country.
People then, as someone said to me, I said, "It's not that bad, is it?" Well, I of course it's not your attack. Everyone isn't attacked. But it's bad enough for people to stand up and say, "Hang on a minute, there's something need to be done here." And
I don't know why that doesn't happen in terms of the powers that be, because I think it is that bad. I don't know. If you ask a random group of people, have they ever known anybody who's been a victim of a random attack? I think almost everyone I know has known someone who has been. So I don't think that necessarily is true of other cities. I think it's a Dublin, it's a Dublin problem. I don't know how relevant it is to other parts of the country, but probably with the, you know, with the drug scene expanding and extending as it is, it probably will.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, It doesn't matter if it is common or not in other cities. It should be dealt with.
And
that kind regards to your son and his pal and to you as well. It sounds a horrific incident. Somebody jumping in and attacking two lads and biting parts of their ear off. And then another group coming along, kicking the two lads while they're in pain on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't bear thinking about. I can't imagine if I had been there, you know, what I would do. Yeah. But my regards go to that man, the Italian
Cristiano,
man who spoke yesterday. Yes, Cristiano, I felt three times is just outrageous. And the guards know who those young fellas are. And, you know, they're 13, so there isn't much hope for where they're heading. Where are they heading?
Unless they're checked now, so to speak. Okay, Annette, thanks indeed,
okay,
Annette.
Thank you.
51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Edith, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Good to hear from you. You were listening to Cristiano yesterday, who was attacked twice in Dublin in the last. Now, as you say, you're originally from Nigeria, living here for 16 years. You're an Irish citizen. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You've experienced racism once. And where was that and what happened, Edith?
Now, to be honest, because I'm not very familiar with Dublin, I can't really tell you the exact location, but I had gone shopping with my boys. It was like this time of the year, actually, so it kind of brought the memories back, you see. And I was meant to take a bus to the Euston Station to take a train back to Botlish. And, of course, I took the wrong bus because I wasn't familiar, and I had spoken to the driver, and he dropped me at a different station where I could take the bus back to Euston.
Okay.
So while I was waiting, it was towards the evening as well, I think around 6 to 7-ish.
Okay.
And I was standing and waiting for the bus with my son by my side. And there was an elderly lady beside me as well. So, like, I couldn't tell exactly where they came from. But they were walking, as soon as they came towards the, you know, the shelter where the bus is.
Yeah, of course, bus shelter.
The eggs were thrown towards my back. I had my coat on. Of course, it was freezing in Dublin.
Somebody threw eggs at you?
Yeah.
And was it one person or a group? Or
There were three. They had, like, you know, the black hoodies, black jackets on. And they were saying, go back to where you're coming from.
Oh, my God.
So the lady beside me just said, oh, don't mind them. They're probably knackers, you know. She reassured me. She was an elderly lady and she was really nice to me. Really, really nice she was. I don't know if she would remember me now anyway, but it's been a long time. But aside from that, guys living in Ireland, like...
You're saying apart from, and I hate that word, by the way, but anyway, you say apart from that, you've had a really good experience in Ireland.
I'm telling you, the best life I'm living.
Brilliant. And you like Ireland, obviously.
I love it. I've been on a Little Show.
Oh, then. It's all downhill after that, Edith. And when did you become a citizen?
That was in 2015.
15, because the citizen ceremonies, I think there's one on today, are starting again. They were suspended there for a while, but now they're incredible ceremonies by all accounts. Incredible ceremonies.
And I feel at home when I listen to Radio 1. I fell in love with Irish radio
when
I listened to through Jerry Ryan, God rest his soul.
I actually
cried my eyes out when he died.
Well, a lot of us did.
Oh,
Way too young.
So that's how Irish I am.
Totally Irish. Edith, Cristiano was fairly adamant now. He's been attacked, as you see, three times now, the latest 48 hours ago. He was fairly adamant that they were attacking him because of his difference, because it's perceived difference of skin colour or whatever. But it's good to hear. One, I'm sorry to hear about that first episode, but in the main, your experience has been good and your by the way.
It's been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And you're amazing as well.
Thank you.
And where are you living?
I live in Portlaoise. I'll tell you something. I've been working in Ireland for over almost 10 years now.
Great.
And I work as a microbiologist. And point, I was working about 6.5-7 years. And I was the only African in my job.
Wow, brilliant.
So imagine the feeling. But I always felt at home. Even in my current job now, I feel absolutely at home. I don't feel any different.
Okay.
And I've always been a positive person.
Have you children, either?
Yeah, I do. I have three kids.
Congratulations. Well done.
I have second son, Eric, who actually, one of the reasons why I'm actually, he has the special needs.
Okay.
And I couldn't really get that help back home.
Okay.
He's well looked after here, and I'm so blessed to be here. Like, and then okay. I have my daughter who answered the phone while I was driving. She's 11.
Okay. Well,
but I'm happy here. I was saying when I was talking to the person who called me, I've never had, apart from that experience, I've met nice people. Like, even when moved to Butleigh, people were so nice and friendly and everything.
And I'd say that people would reciprocate and say the same things about you by the sound of it, Edith. Edith, thanks indeed, and we'll see you soon. That's Edith. Thanks, Edith. 51551 is the text number. joe@rt.ie over the weekend. BCO's Laura Lee Davis, Damon Chanel, the sound. Research by Richie Byrne, Angus McInally produced. The series producers Fergus Sweeney and Ray Darcy is next.